Gentus presents His Favourite Graves by Paul Cleave. Performed by Chris Dyer. Day 1. Chapter 1. The coffin has a set of vents low in the front, angled down, giving Lucas a narrow view of the floor. When he presses his hands against the metal walls, they flex fractionally outwards before bouncing back, seemingly closer after each attempt, as though the walls are shrinking around him. When he tries to turn his body, elbows and knees hit walls, and when he attempts to straighten the cramp out of his back, his head hits the ceiling. He's a 5'8", thin and flexible 16-year-old teenager in an upright coffin that's 6 feet tall, but with a shelf 3/4 of the way up that can't be moved, forcing him to hunch. If he hadn't been so thin, the others probably couldn't have stuffed him in here in the first place. But they did, and they laughed while doing it, while other students walked by, ignoring his pleas for help. Why would they care? It's not like he's the first kid in the history of kids and schools to be stuffed into a locker. He's going to wet himself, pass out, and then die, and tomorrow morning they'll find his body ankle deep in piss. He focuses on the air vents. It's a chicken and egg scenario. Did bullies see the vents and figure they could stuff kids into lockers without them running out of air? Or did the manufacturers figure kids would get stuffed inside and didn't want them suffocating? The way he sees it, he's on his own. His cell phone is in his bag, which might be on top of the lockers or in a dumpster behind the school or stuffed into a toilet. It's been half an hour since he heard anybody, and soon one of two things is going to happen. His dad is either going to notice Lucas isn't there and do something about it, or he isn't going to notice and do nothing. It's going to come down to whether his dad started his drinking today before 3 or after, which is something his dad has gotten particularly good at since his mum up and announced she was leaving them 2 years back. In the distance, a slight whirring that, over the following few minutes, grows louder as it gets closer. All the teachers are gone. Mondays are like that, teachers wanting to place the day in their rearview mirrors so they can rush home and uncork the wine. What he's hearing is the janitor pushing a floor polisher. It has to be. He holds off banging on the door because there is no way the guy will hear him over the noise. Not yet, anyway. So he waits, and he tries not to wet his pants, and the air gets thicker, and the idea he could be in here till tomorrow solidifies. Would he survive? He imagines his gravestone. Lucas Connor, 16 years old, gone too soon. But who really cares? Certainly not his mum, who left, and not his dad, who would drink himself into a state where he wouldn't even recognise he was now living alone. He focuses on the whirring, picturing the janitor as he pushes the floor polisher closer, and when he thinks it's as close as it's going to get, he bangs on the door. The floor polisher doesn't slow down. Of course it doesn't, because the janitor will be wearing earmuffs, and there could be 100 kids banging from 100 lockers, and this guy wouldn't have the slightest idea. He keeps hammering at the door. The floor polisher is now on its way in the other direction. He gives it everything he has, because if he doesn't, he's going to die in here. And if he doesn't die, he'll at least go mad. And maybe, just maybe, if the janitor can't hear him, he will at least see the door rattling. Which might be what happens, because the floor polisher stops moving, and the motor slows and dies.